You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends, the number one source for travel news, reviews, and in-depth travel journalism, broadcasting live from Florida's Sun Coast on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, you can listen to us online 24/7 at ttrn.com. And now, here's the travel guy, Roy Lowy.
Thank you, Mike, and this is the travel guy, Roy Lowy, and you are listening to Talking Travel on the Travel Talk Radio Network, TTRN.com, and on the World Travel and Dining Channel. My guests today are Evan Eggers, Lee Daniel, Peter Flaherty, Johnny Jett, when we come back.
I'm native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks. All-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a seven-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally
want to
do it again.
This segment of the show is brought to you in part by SureCruise.com, your online cruise superstore, and in part by USA 3000 Airlines, serving several different cities from Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, St. Pete, and Orlando. Mr. Evan Eggers, president of SureCruise.com, is on the phone from, well, I was almost said from Germany again, Evan. But I know you're here locally, and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
We were amazed at how clearly the your voice came through from Germany, and it's amazing the technology today. And
oh, I know, especially considering I was talking to you from my laptop, basically. It is amazing.
Right, and the clarity was absolutely terrific.
Well, it's nice that once in a blue moon technology actually works the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, like my emails. Or like my email doesn't at times. In any event, let's go to what's happening out there. What was particularly interesting, I thought, this week is that Carnival has canceled the Triumph's return to New Orleans.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's interesting. So Carnival Triumph was scheduled to move back to New Orleans and be homeported there later this year, as you say. And Carnival announced that they're just not going to do it right now. They represent it as a postponement, that they want to bring this ship or another large ship like it back to New Orleans. But the demand just isn't there. And, you know, Carnival, we've talked before how supportive Carnival has been with New Orleans in general. First of all, providing ships for the hurricane relief for people to live on after Hurricane Katrina.
Exactly.
And they were among the first to bring a ship back. And to be clear, they already do have one of their smaller vessels there, the Carnival Fantasy, that's already in New Orleans.
Right.
So we have to, you know, take them at their word that simply, you know, they weren't seeing the bookings that they needed to see in order to justify a ship of the size of Carnival Triumph. So, you know, it's kind of sad. And the way, so some of what the Carnival people were actually saying is that their feeling on the matter is that people are still kind of prejudiced or worried about going back to New Orleans right now for a cruise. And, you know, if these, you know, the drumbeat of bad news you hear coming out of New Orleans in the press scares people off, even though there's a lot of good stuff going on there. And certainly the, especially the areas tourists are likely to visit, are, you know, up and running and going strong.
Well, as I was saying, there's some lingering misconceptions by the vacationing public as to the recovery. But that it should be interesting. The Carnival is on there right now, I believe. Carnival, the New Orleans Carnival.
Oh, yes, Mardi Gras, absolutely.
Mardi Gras, yep, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm
that's
confusing,
all right.
Confusing it with the ship.
If you use the word Carnival as somebody in the cruise business, all I can think of is Carnival Cruise Line.
Exactly,
so.
But Mardi Gras is the correct term. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know what else is kind of funny, too? The idea that people would be shying away from sailing on a cruise from Carnival is a little ridiculous because the vast majority of people who sail from any port never even do anything in the port. They just go from the airport to the ship and get on and go, come back to the airport.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people should take more advantage of the port when they, you know, maybe spend a night before or a night after, but mostly they don't. So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are some pre and post, but the thing is that it is a bit confusing, but, you know, I'm sure Carnival knows what they're going to do, and I guess now the Triumph will operate its exotic Eastern Caribbean itinerary, as they call it, beginning August 25th, and they're going to sail to Half Moon Cay, which is Carnival's private island, as we all know, in the Bahamas, and Grand Turk and Turks and Caicos, St. Thomas, and San Juan, which is, you know, their old pattern.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, let's see. There were some other interesting items. What happened with the Pride of America? It broke its moorings in Maui. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it was in Maui, docked in Maui, and the ship in what were estimated to be gusty trade winds of around 50 miles an hour just broke her mooring lines and took off. I guess she had to kind of skulk back to shore. Even the thrusters weren't enough to get her back quickly enough. They had to get a tugboat out to push her back in. So she, you know, was loose in the harbor for a few minutes there. It took about 90 minutes until everything was all shipshape again and tied up. But it could have been bad. I mean, the ship busted loose in the pier, dragging the loading bridge with it, apparently. Thank goodness nobody was on it. And really, there were no injuries to speak of and no real serious damage.
And probably no power on it at that time, I would guess.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, the details are still coming out, but... we know that the ship is fine. It's going on with its regularly scheduled activities, and you know, no harm, no foul, I guess. But kind of a scary thing.
Sure is. Have you heard any more about the service? Remember, they were getting some bad press about the onboard service with the Pride of America. Have you heard any more about how that's improved?
Or? Oh yes. I mean, the feedback is much better. There is no longer are we getting complaints from customers. In general, people are very pleased. It is different. I mean, being on a ship that has U.S. crew, it's just, you know, it's a kind of a different experience. And for a lot of people, it's a better experience. But they've gotten their act together. So the staff turnover has come way down, which is crucial for running any business, let alone a service business, a hospitality business. So they're managing it better. They've stabilized everything, and you know, people are happy with the product now.
Yeah, that's good, because it's such a great product. It's such a great idea. Just to be able to cruise around all the islands like that is terrific.
Well, and, you know, I've always been very complimentary that Norwegian has been among the most creative of cruise lines, coming up with ideas like putting a U.S. flag vessel, therefore able to sail around the Hawaiian Islands. They were the first to do cruising year-round from New York. You know, they introduced this freestyle cruising concept with up to 11 restaurants on each ship. They've done a lot of really innovative things, and I give them credit for it.
Absolutely. Now, there was one other mishap, and that was the Regal Princess.
Yeah, that actually, the Regal Princess, this is funny. The Princess's statement was that the Regal Princess touched bottom while leaving its port in Mexico, which I suppose is polite cruise line speak for, well, the ship kind of little bit ran aground, but not so much. So anyway, it touched bottom and damaged one of its ballast tanks is what they discovered. And the ballast tanks are obviously very important. The ballast tanks are used to shift weight in the form of water from one side of the vessel to the other to keep it stable in high seas or high winds.
Right.
And so having damage to the ballast tank is important. They had to pull the ship out of service, so the over 1,500 passengers who were on board the ship for their Panama Canal cruise had to all be taken off. That cruise was canceled. They were all flown home at Princess's expense, given a refund, a credit toward a future cruise, which seems reasonable. And right now it's not clear whether the ship will be able to make its next trip, which is March 1st, which is a 12-night South America trip. Now, I don't know if I told this, Roy, but Regal Princess, along with its old sister ship, Crown Princess, not the current Crown Princess, I think is one of the most beautiful cruise ships out there. I mean, Regal is it's one of Princess's older vessels. It was designed by an Italian architect, so of course it's a nice-looking ship. They're just beautiful.
Right. Yeah, and you know, we had... We had what was the name of the one we had up here in Manatee County? It was Regal something or other. It was an old ship. It was owned by GoGo, and eventually it was sold to an organization down in Fort Lauderdale, and they just operated. I think it was called the Regal Empress, and they're now running it back and forth between Fort Lauderdale and the Bahamas. But I loved it because it was 700 passengers. And it was all the old wood inside, and a great old ship. We just loved it, and we're very sorry to see it leave this area. But yes, you know, some of the old Regal ships were just exactly that, very regal.
Yep, that's right.
And it's good to see that they're still out there and doing the job. What's actually happened with this onboard doctor's malpractice? Business, all these lawsuits, I understand.
Well, yeah, I mean, this comes up every now and then where somebody feels that they were not treated properly by the medical staff on board the ship, and so they'll sue the cruise line. Well, The challenge is, I guess there are two things, and I can argue both sides of this. Now, in this case, it's obviously, this case that has just been resolved by the Florida Supreme Court is a sad one, where there was a young woman who was diagnosed with the flu by an onboard doctor on her Carnival cruise, but actually had appendicitis. This is in 1997 is when this happened. So she had a ruptured appendix and then got an infection, which, of course, is no surprise, the ruptured appendix, and it eventually left her sterile. So it's very, very sad. But the matter of law here is the cruise line responsible for the care provided by the onboard doctor? Now, the onboard doctor is an independent contractor hired by the cruise line. So on the one hand, I could argue the side that says, well, sure, they should be responsible. It's the cruise line ship. It's their, you know, they're hiring the doctor. But on the flip side, I could argue the case and say, well, you know, if you ask your hospital to recommend a doctor to come, I'm not a hospital, ask your hotel to recommend a doctor to come see you if you were ill while you're traveling to a hotel, would you then expect the hotel to be responsible for medical care? I mean, they're just a travel business, the same as a cruise line is. And the reason why the Florida Supreme Court in this case said the cruise line was not responsible is because it's a matter of federal and international maritime law, that when the cruise line hires someone like an independent contractor on board their ship, in this case the doctor, that they're not responsible for accidents that doctor makes. So, you know, I can, like I said, I could argue both sides of it, but the court came down on the cruise line side.
But it's an interesting point, though, about the doctors. It seems that a lot of these doctors, some of that that I've spoken with, are mostly retired, and they're looking for something to do. They've given up their practice, and not that this means that they're not inexperienced. But, I mean, is it the type of doctor that you would expect to get in your normal, everyday environment? I don't know. It's a difficult call. Most of them that I've met are not even U.S. citizens, so I don't even know how they would, how they would sue somebody like that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know the details either. That might be worth something to look into and discuss further in the future, too.
But anyway, it's certainly a comforting feeling to know you have somebody there, and that's the important issue.
Well, that's true, and certainly this is 1997, 10 years ago, and we do know for a fact that since then, over the past 10 years, the standard of quality of onboard care has done nothing but improve, both in terms of staffing and ship's facilities they have on board. So they can really handle a lot on board these ships nowadays.
Absolutely. Now, I have your website up in front of me, and I notice you have a new Vote the Boat with a big vote button up there. Tell us about it.
Yes, well, you know, as you know, Roy, I'm a believer that we're in the business of selling fun, so we should have some fun with it. So what we decided to do is we wanted to get a feeling for what cruises people were most interested in booking and would like us to put on sale. So we're having an election about once a week, once every other week, at our Vote the Boat area of our website, where people can vote for which cruise they want us to put on sale. At the end of that period, at the end of that week, when the election is over, when the polls are closed, if you will, then we'll see which cruise got the most votes from our customer base, and we'll put that cruise on sale for them. And they can go ahead and book it, and you know, we'll do something different every time. It might be an onboard credit. It might be a free shore excursion. Maybe we'll give away a free iPod sometimes. Who knows? But whatever cruise wins, we'll go ahead and put it on sale, and people can book into it.
And it's on your blog. I'm looking at it now. If one wants to go to it.
Oh, well, right now, it'll be on the homepage soon, but right now, okay. So because we're easing into it, it's a brand new feature, but if somebody wants to go to it right now, they can go to surecruise.com/vote.
Oh, okay. Because what I found out when I went to the website, I went to a blog, and it brought up the Navigator Cruise blog, and there was the big button.
Yeah, that's right. So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what cruises people vote for. And, you know, it's people, can they vote more than once? Well, they can have their friends vote for a cruise. So, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting to see what people do.
Is there anything coming up that we should be aware of for spring?
Well, for spring cruising, I mean, right now, in terms of just general trends in the industry, Caribbean is just the best value you'll ever want to get.
Right.
Still, Caribbean bookings remain weak as far as the cruise lines are concerned, so the prices are low. You know, that's the big thing, the big buzz, the thing that people are talking about right now. You know, Europe and Alaska are a little harder. They're very popular. The prices are higher. So, you know, in terms of going on vacation, there you have it. Caribbean cruise is still a tremendous deal.
Yep, it certainly is. Next week, we're going to be on the road, so we're going to take a little break. So hopefully we'll be talking to you the week after.
All right, very good.
We thank you for joining us and look forward to our next session.
Thanks, Roy. Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Evan Eggers. We're going to go to break, and let's see. When we come back, we're going to be chatting with Lee Daniel, and Lee is the is with the St. Petersburg Visitors and Convention Bureau, and he's going to bring us up to date on what is it that the Visitors and Convention Bureau really does. So stay with us.
This is the story of Mary and Larry. They had cabin fever so bad it was scary.
We need a vacation, a place warm and sunny, a place that's fun for not much money.
Let's escape the cold and the snow. We'll fly Sky Value from Gary, Chicago.
Sky Value now offers great rates from convenient Gary, Chicago Airport to your favorite hotspots, Orlando, St. Pete, Fort Lauderdale, Phoenix, and Las Vegas. Book your flight at flyskyvalue.com.
Gary, Chicago Airport works for me. The drive was easy.
The parking secure and free.
Sky Value. You sure saved us money.
You're so smart.
And so is my honey.
And they flew Sky Value from Gary Chicago Airport happily ever after. Fares are one-way subject to availability and change. Restrictions apply. Fares do not include September 11th security fees and other U.S. taxes and fees. See participant agreement for details. Sky Value flights operated by Extra Airways, PC number 06154.
Well, we're back, and Mr. Lee Daniel, who is the St. Petersburg Visitors and Convention Bureau, is with us today, and he's going to chat with us about what is it really that a convention and visitors bureau really does. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Roy. Well, from about 75 degree and sunny St. Petersburg, Clearwater here.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's beautiful, isn't it? And for those in Chicago and those other areas in upstate New York, we certainly welcome you. We'd like you to come down here, and we'd give you a big welcome when you arrive, would we not?
Absolutely.
Lee, I think that most people don't really understand how much work goes into and behind the scenes of a Visitors and Convention Bureau, because when they think of conventions, we all understand what conventions are, but there's so much, much more that goes into what you all do on a day-to-day basis. Could you just kind of chat with us a bit about that?
Sure, and I do think the names of our organizations are kind of confusing, or a lot of the general public does not really understand. I think at some point, and I see some organizations changing their names to things like Visit Charlotte and Explore Columbus and those kinds of things, but right. we are the tourism marketing organization for, in our case, Pinellas County, Florida, which we call the St. Petersburg Clearwater area. But conventions is just a very small part of what we do. We actually look at any piece of tourism-related business that will bring business into the community, put them in our commercial lodging establishments. And in our 36-person bureau, we do have a meetings and conventions department that's out there selling those conferences. But we also have a leisure travel department that works with tour operators, travel agents, and the general public, those people looking to where to plan or where to go on their vacation. We have a public relations department that's looking at getting positive editorial coverage placed all around our key market areas. We have a film commission that works with commercial shoots, commercial producers, video music producers, TV pilots, even feature film producers on trying to bring filming projects into our area. A sports department, a sports commission that does almost 80,000 room nights a year in team trainings are also the youth to adult baseball, softball, soccer tournaments, and those kinds of things. And we're the only convention bureau in the country that I'm aware of that has an education department and a training department where we're going out and working with various segments in the community, training them and educating them about the importance of good customer service and how they can improve their customer service to our guests.
And that's very important, because we all know when we go to wherever it is we travel, that's what we look for. We look for service, we look for friendly people, and that's what it's all about. And if you don't get that, there's a pretty good chance one's not going to go back there again, and that would be all very unfortunate if it certainly happened in this area. I think also what might be interesting to our listening audience is that the hotels and the attractions are also members of your organization. Is that correct?
Well, many CVBs are set up as a independent, non-for-profit membership bureau. There are about four or five of us in Florida that are actually departments of our county government. And here in St. Petersburg, Clearwater, we're a department of Pinellas County government and therefore don't really have a membership base. We feel it's our our mission, if you will, to promote all the tourism-related businesses throughout Pinellas County.
But you work in conjunction with these organizations.
Oh, absolutely.
With
we have a
properties.
Very good relationship with our industry partners, both on the accommodation side, the transportation companies, the attractions, really all different segments of our industry.
Now, and I think what would also be interesting for our public to know is that you are a convention bureau here in St. Petersburg, but you reach out much further. You have representation in Europe, for example, and other cities. Like, for example, I know that you share an office, or you have now have a new office with that you're sharing with Tampa in Chicago, for that matter. So it's just not a bunch of people here locally passing out information. You're out in other areas to bring tourists to the St. Petersburg beaches area.
Correct, Roy. And many people don't know, we were actually the first destination in Florida to have an office in London. We opened an office in the UK, had sales representation there in 1982, and that was even before the state of Florida started having an office in the UK. We were in 1985, we started a representation in Canada. And then in 1989 in Frankfurt, Germany, for Germany and seven other countries in Central Europe. So we're really marketing this area throughout Canada, throughout parts and a good part of Europe. And then on the meeting side, as you mentioned, we work closely with the Tampa Bay Convention and Visitors Bureau and have joint sales representation both in the Chicago market and also in the Washington, D.C. market. But that's specifically for those meetings and conference business, where our offices internationally work on all sorts of business to bring here.
Now, your area covers what covers when you talk about the beaches. What beaches fall within your footprint?
Well, we actually market all of Pinellas County, which is Tarpon Springs down through St. Pete Beach in St. Petersburg. There's about 35 miles of coastline there. Some of the best beaches in the world, two of which have been recognized as such, a number of other blue wave beaches, which get another type of certification. So we have about 35 miles of coastline here on the Gulf of Mexico, and we are the most popular visitor destination on the Gulf Coast of Florida, with about over 5.2 million overnight visitors.
That's quite a large number. And DeSoto, the DeSoto Park falls under your jurisdiction.
It does, and that was named by Dr. Beach, Dr. Stephen Leatherman, as the number one beach in the United States in 2005. And then Caladese Island State Park, he currently ranks as the second best beach in the entire United States. And we're hopeful, since he always retires his number one beach, we're very hopeful that Caladese might move up to number one for 2007.
Now, how about restaurants and just dining and entertainment places? How does one promote those under under your flag, so to speak?
Well, we try to actually, in an area guide that we produce, have a restaurant, a dining guide as part of that publication. We don't publicize the chain restaurants in that, but we do try to list as many of the other independent, locally owned restaurants as we can. And again, dining is a huge part of tourism. There's a whole segment of tourism now that people traveling to dine and experience restaurants, or it's certainly, if they're not coming just for that, it's a very important portion of their experience while they're in a destination. And we're very, very fortunate to have just an incredible array of high-quality dining establishments here in the county.
And attractions, you would promote that the same way.
Absolutely, and especially our museums. I think one of the things that makes us very unique is that I'm not aware of another destination that's truly known as a beach resort, which we are. We're a beach destination, but who offers some of the cultural attractions we do, such as the Salvador Dali Museum,
right. The
Museum of Fine Arts, the Florida Holocaust Museum, Florida International Museum. The Dale Chihuly Museum is being built, and a number of art galleries and other cultural attractions in downtown St. Petersburg, so, and throughout the county as well. So we're very, very fortunate in that regard.
Now, So in essence, what happens is that you get all this material together, and then you offer it. First of all, you have a great website, and you might mention that at this point.
Yes, and that's, as you know, that's the way the business is going more and more. It's amazing how many people are researching and buying their travel online now. But we'd love to have people go to www.floridasbeach.com, FLORIDASBEACH, altogether, .com, and take a look at how we promote the destination. And we have departments in there that if somebody's a meeting planner or a travel agent, they can go to that specific department if they're a film producer or a sports promoter and get more information specific to their markets, as well as just someone who's looking for a place to go on vacation.
So they can find a hotel, they can find the attractions, they can find, I'm assuming the restaurants are up there.
They are, and we have links to the great majority of our accommodations, so that if people see a hotel they like on our site, they can actually link directly to that property site and book directly online as well. So they can do their research as well as make some purchases right on our site.
And I would think that travel agents or anybody like that could also go to the site and get that information, or, in fact, find the contact in the leisure market that they could get together with to help promote whatever it is that they would like to do.
That's correct. And even online for the travel agents, we have what we call a Florida's Beach Specialist Program, that a travel agent can go on, take a brief study course about the area, and then take a test after the study course and become a Florida's Beach Specialist, which we send them a certificate, and then in the past we've had that where they get some continuing education credit for becoming a Florida's Beach Specialist as well.
And the general public can go there, and if they want material, collateral material, they can request it from you?
Absolutely. We have a terrific magazine quality visitor guide, which has a lot of good editorial content, which is written by, the editorial is written by travel writers. It's not written by us on staff. It has a list of all the attractions, all the hotels. So I think it's a very comprehensive piece, and they can order that online, and we'll be happy to send it out to them right away.
Now, how about air service into St. Petersburg these days?
Well, we're very fortunate, again, to have two international airports. Obviously, Tampa International Airport is the major one, but St. Petersburg-Clearwater International Airport is also making a great rebound. We now have, in addition to USA 3000 and some Canadian carriers, we also have Allegiant Air, which started service from 12 different cities in the United States with nonstop service right into St. Petersburg-Clearwater Airport, and you're just 20 minutes from any of our beachfront hotels if you fly into St. Pete Clearwater Airport. And that service is going very, very well, and we're pleased with that and looking forward to continuing to work with Allegiant Air on some cooperative marketing ventures to continue to grow that business.
And I also noticed that on Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, there's a new entrant called Sky Value.
Sky Value, yes. And both airports are continuing to work constantly on air service, and just to give you a sense of how important it is, we're a destination where about 70% of our visitors fly in. Air service is extremely important, not only for the international visitors, but also for our domestic guests as well.
Lee, thank you very much. It was very informative, and we encourage our listeners to go to your website, and we thank you for doing such a great job bringing visitors into the Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg area.
Roy, it's been my pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. Bye for now.
Bye.
Well, Lee Daniel of the St. Petersburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, one of my favorite Irishmen is going to be with us, Mr. Peter Flaherty, and he's going to take us on a little tour he's been on recently in New Jersey, interestingly enough, so stay with us.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
Well, with that music, it could be no other one but then Peter Flaherty, our famous Irish journalist. And thank you for joining us today, Peter.
I was expecting a little bit of the St. Patrick's Day music, Roy. It's still a bit early for that.
Well,
but you know, the place I'm talking with you about today, its nickname is the Irish Riviera, Roy.
Is it really? Spring
it
Lake?
It is.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either until I was down there. So it's been a popular spot for quite some time with Irish Americans from the Jersey Shore and New York and Philadelphia. So in fact, on some of the bed and breakfasts and private homes in Spring Lake, I noticed the Irish tricolor. I felt quite at home.
Well, and you would not miss that in a heartbeat. That's for sure.
That's right.
Well, so it is Spring Lake we're talking about. And
Spring Lake, New Jersey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and give us a little geographical location, if you will.
Well, that's a good question, because before I was invited down there by Lee Court, who is a publicist who promotes tourism in the area, I didn't really know where it is either. It's actually, it's on the northern part of the Jersey Shore. It's about 1 hour south of New York by car, 1 hour east of Philadelphia, and about an hour to an hour and a half north of Atlantic City. So it's actually quite well located in the Jersey Shore area, but not too well known to people outside of the immediate region who have been going there for quite some time. I drove down in my car from Toronto, and it took me about a day and a half, but it wasn't a difficult drive.
And you know, I went to the website and I pulled up a couple of things, and I see where what they refer to is 2 miles of private beach and the longest non-commercial boardwalk in New Jersey, and this
That's
is what's
right.
made it unique for over 100 years.
Yep. It's been a popular destination, as I plan to say when in the article which I intend to write about it, since the late 19th century. It's because of its closeness to New York and Philadelphia, people would go down by train often. What would happen is that families would stay for the summer, and the man of the house, the breadwinner, would go into his office in New York or Philly for the day, and sometimes come back in the evening or come back on weekends. So it's been a popular spot. The boardwalk is a really, really impressive feature of the town. Spring Lake is quite an upscale destination, and the year-round residents there have some magnificent homes. Some of the most impressive ones front the ocean, and you can walk along the boardwalk I must have walked for over a mile, and it wasn't, it was winter, it wasn't early winter, it was still pretty mild, but I imagine in the summer it must just be spectacular.
And they've still maintained their architectural integrity and the old world charm over the years, I imagine.
That's right, they have, yes. They've kept all of the buildings, they've really made an effort not to, they know what they have, they know how popular it could be, and they certainly do get a large influx of tourists in the summer months particularly, but they really have made every effort to preserve the 19th century features and the inns I stayed at. I mean, there are so many of them. There's a whole group of bed and breakfasts, and in fact, when I was there, it was a pre-Christmas open house that a lot of the properties were staging with Christmas trees and decorations, and I got around to see quite a few of them, but there were four bed and breakfast inns that had invited me to stay there, and each one of them in its own way was unique, and it was just a tremendous experience.
And the service?
Service was great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that's, that's what makes the romance and all of that, and staying in these old historic houses is the personalized service. And I think we did a bit one a segment one time with Bob Fisher where he talked about special. It takes special people to run a bed and breakfast.
That's right.
Because it's there's so much interaction between the owner or the operator and the guests, unlike a major hotel property.
I really felt that I was taken into their homes and treated really as one of the family. You know, I think you know, Roy, that I had a little bit of a medical problem when I was down there with my eye.
Yes.
And it was really quite fortunate, and I mean, it wasn't a very good thing to have anywhere when you're traveling, but I was very happy that I was staying in bed and breakfast as opposed to somewhat bigger, more impersonal hotels, because the people who stayed with me were so accommodating, and they said, you know, in every way, they said, don't worry. They took me to my medical appointments by car. They arranged special meals for me, and each inn was unique. The people who ran them had their own stories about how they'd come into the bed and breakfast business, and many of them came from backgrounds in the corporate world or government. One gentleman, Fred Fogel, who runs Seacrest by the Sea with his wife Barbara, and it's a beautiful spot. Had a very interesting military background in naval intelligence, and he was called back to active duty after 9/11, but he and his wife had just sort of started running the inn at that point. So it was a fascinating story, and I really felt that I got to know, you know, all of these people and made personal contacts with them, and I'd certainly go back again and visit them another time if I have a chance.
Peter, if you will, tell us about some of the historical, cultural, and outdoor attractions.
There's a lot to see there. I was only there for a short time, and unfortunately, you know, with my eye problem, I wasn't able to do quite as much as I'd hoped to, but they have an excellent local museum, a historical museum that preserves a lot of the artifacts and the pictures of some of the old hotels. At one point, there were a number of really big hotels right down by the ocean, but, you know, the era of the large hotel, the sort of 19th century hotel, is kind of past now, but there are still one or two that are in operation, and when you visit the historical museum in Spring Lake, you can really get a good sense of the different phases of tourism and how it's impacted on the town. There's some wonderful period photographs and a lot of interesting souvenirs and artifacts in the different periods. So that, for history, it's excellent. You can walk. There's a lot of self-guided walking nature trails in the area, the boardwalk just being one of them. They have a lot of sports, where there's golf. There's, in the summer, of course, fishing and swimming, biking. People who are interested in art and antiques can visit many of the fascinating little stores there. There's a good bookstore. In the summer, they have a very active theater program, the Spring Lake Theater. So all kinds of stuff going on. Really, you could spend a weekend or a week or 2 weeks there, and I don't think you'd ever run out of things to do. And if you just want to kind of take a quiet vacation and spend the day at the beach, many of the bed and breakfasts are located within easy walking distance of the water. So there's just, you could be as active as you want or as inactive. One of the owners, Alan Kaplan, was telling me an amusing story about, they get a lot of sort of high stress corporate types from New York City coming down for weekends, and one guy, when he first arrived, he had his BlackBerry with him and his laptop computer and his cell phone, and he just couldn't seem to unplug himself from his job. But within a day, Alan saw him sitting out in the backyard, stretched out on a lawn chair, and he was just completely at his ease. So I think that's what Spring Lake can do for you, and I imagine that's why a lot of people who are sort of stressed in their regular jobs like to go there and take a bit of a breather.
How about the dining and shopping?
Dining is excellent, as is the shopping. I had some wonderful meals there. I was invited to a dinner at the Island Palm Grill, which is right on the main street, my first night there. I also ate at a place called Whispers, which is a lovely dining room in a Victorian-style building. Just outside the town, there was another place called the Shipwreck Inn, which was a fascinating seafood restaurant. And this was only I just scraped the surface. There are many, many dining opportunities. Shopping on the main street is great. There is an excellent menswear store that I just found out really by chance. One of the owner of it, Bill, was visiting Lori Carloni, who is the owner of the Evergreen Inn. The first place I stayed, he just stopped in for breakfast one morning, and he told me about his menswear shop called Scoobies, which was great for me because I was able to pick up a couple of last-minute Christmas presents for male members of my family when I was there. High-end but top-quality merchandise, and Bill and his son are opening up another property, another business on the main street that's going to specialize more in denims. All kinds of, as I said, antiques, fancy food stores, shoes, clothing, and it's all kept very much in the sort of non-Walmart approach to merchandising. Let's put it that way. You can stroll up and down the main street, and the stores are all very small. They're not all the big box kind of places, although there is a big mall nearby if you want to visit the Monmouth Mall. It's maybe 10, 15 minutes by car away, and it's got everything you could possibly want. But I really enjoyed the Spring Lake approach to things. Very low-key, small-scale, very customer-friendly, and very personable. And it was a great couple of days.
Now share with us the story of the transformation from bordellos to B&Bs. Now, you know I was going to miss that one.
No, I thought you might ask me that. Well, I think you have to take that on two levels. According to the what really intrigued me about Spring Lake, actually, was the promotional email that Lee Court, and Lee is a wonderful woman. We should really try to get her on the show sometime. She's got a lot of interesting stories. She promotes things in Florida, and she's a Jersey girl originally, so she's got a very soft spot for Spring Lake. She sent out an email, and I'm just quoting from this, "Women are not strangers to the hospitality industry, considering that for hundreds of years in America, it was one of the respectable careers where they excelled. From running bordellos and bars to owning boarding houses, they currently govern a major percentage of bed and breakfast inns in America." Well, that grabbed my attention on one level, and then when I arrived at Spring Lake, the first place I stayed, the Evergreen Inn, which is run by a really, really colorful and interesting, dynamic young woman named Lori Carloni, who's also a Jersey girl, born and bred. She told me that the Evergreen Inn had actually been a bordello at one time. And she knew this from researching some of the local history, that it had a rather shady, checkered past. And she even managed to preserve that. It's a funny thing that all the rooms in her place and many of the bed and breakfasts are theme rooms. For instance, in Seacrest, I got to stay in the Hemingway suite, so I felt I was really enjoying myself in Key West at that point. But one of the rooms that Lori has is the 50s room, and there are life-size cutout pictures of Elvis and Marilyn Monroe with the faces cut out. So any couples who feel so inclined can could pretend they're act out their Elvis and Marilyn 50s fantasies in that room. So I think if that particular place, if the walls could talk, they'd probably tell some very interesting stories about some of the things that went on at Spring Lake.
That's exactly what I was about to say. If walls could only speak,
that's right.
It would
that's
be
right.
interesting. That's, Peter, yeah, it's yeah. super... a super story, and you're going to do an article on this as well.
I definitely am. I've been a bit held up with this the problem that I picked up down there, but I've got an article promised to Lee, and I think that Spring Lake needs to be better known up here in Canada, because it's not a place that people are familiar with, but it's just a great location, in and of itself, what it has to offer. But also, as I said earlier, the location is so strategically key for exploring Atlantic City or Philadelphia. You could easily go into New York for the day. It's a great place to be close to big cities and the gambling and whatever the area has to offer, but you can really get a sense that you're a place, as they say, where time seems to stand still, where you can get back to a kind of late 19th century pace of life if you want to.
Peter, thank you, and look forward to speaking to you again. Great story.
Okay, Roy. Nice to talk to you.
Bye for now.
Yeah, bye.
Peter Flaherty always has some great stories. We're going to go to break in a little bit, and then we're going to be speaking with Johnny Jett. I just wanted to elaborate a little bit more on what Peter was chatting about. And I noticed when I went to the website, they had the top 11 things to do while visiting Spring Lake. And one was, of course, live history, the Spring Lake Historical Society and Museum, of course, which Peter had touched on, and the Divine Park Walks, Art and Antiques, self-guided walking tours and biking, of course, read a book, and spots to curl up, dine around, Spring Lake Theater and Library, golf, fish, surf, and boating, and just fall in love and do nothing at the beach. So we'll be back with we're going to break, and we'll be back with Johnny Jett wherever he is in just a moment.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a seven-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again.
Well, we're back, and Johnny Jett is with us by phone from somewhere in the world. Thank you for joining us today. Johnny, can you share with us where you're calling from?
Oh, Roy, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I hear you wonderfully. This, you know, this technology is terrific.
I'm calling you from my hotel room, from my computer on Skype. It's costing me 2 cents a minute, and I'm on an island 35 miles off the coast of Venezuela.
Oh, how wonderful. What's the name of the island?
Curacao.
Curacao, of course. You know, I'm always amazed. We had Evan Eggers called us from Germany last week VoIP system through his computer, and
VoIP.
Yeah, VoIP. Well, voice over internet protocol, right?
Yeah. That's
But Skype is great. I use it all the time. And for those that are not familiar with it, I'm sure that Johnny, I certainly do recommend that you go to skype.com and download it. And as he said, here he is calling us from Curacao at 3 cents a minute. And since he is calling us at 3 cents a minute, let's chat a bit. What's going on, Johnny?
Oh, I'm down here for Carnival.
Okay.
And it's amazing. And people are so friendly, and the costumes are incredible. The food is good. And I almost feel like I'm in Europe once in a while.
Now, when did Carnival start?
It started, last night was the last night. But I believe it started 2 weeks ago with like kids carnival and stuff.
Yeah, the build up and all of that. Yeah, how'd you get down there?
I flew American Airlines through Miami.
And American onward, or was there another carrier?
No, it's American.
Okay, and
737.
How long are you going to be there?
For about 2 more hours.
2 more hours.
Yeah.
My goodness, are you heading home? Is that the plan?
I'm going to Miami, and I'm not sure if I'm going to L.A. or I'm going to go hang out in Florida for a couple of days.
Well, if you do, if you're up up this Sarasota way, give me a call. We'll get together. But tell us about Curacao. It's been some time since I've been there. I'm sure there's some changes. But tell our audience what Curacao has to offer.
Well, it has beautiful beaches, really good diving. The island is small, and it's safe, which I like. You don't see a lot of poverty. Actually, I didn't see any poverty, and I've been all around the island.
Right.
And the water's beautiful. It's warm. It's a Dutch Antilles. It's part of the Dutch Antilles.
Right.
And so there's
English
flair of Amsterdam.
English speaking, of course.
You know what? They do speak English, but the local language is Papiamento.
Right.
Which is a mix of Dutch and. I don't know what else. But they all speak English. Well, actually, not everybody, but most people speak English, Dutch, Papiamento, and Spanish.
And what about, where are you staying? Give us some idea of hotel.
I'm staying at the Marriott, Curacao Marriott, which is very nice. It's one of the better Marriotts you'll find. It actually reminds me of the Delray Beach Marriott.
Right.
And or an international one. But there's some really nice hotels. Hotel Cura Hulanda. This one guy, he's a Dutch guy, and he's invested so much money in the country, and he's done so much for it. He opened up a slavery museum because there was no place here that offered, the history of the island, because this used to be a huge slave trading point.
Right.
And he wanted to show everyone, you know, how terrible it was then. And it was really moving, that museum.
Now, let me ask you this, Johnny. What about dining? Have you had a chance to dine around and take your usual beautiful photographs?
Oh, for sure. Last night I had my my best dining experience. It was actually at that hotel I just mentioned. They have a restaurant called Jaipur. It's an Indian restaurant.
Right.
And the food was really good. But they also have a lot of Dutch food. And my dining experiences have been so-so. Some of them, for some reason, the Dutch waitresses do not like me.
Not too friendly?
I mean, they're usually friendly, but, no, Americans, you know, when they sit down, they want to get the menu and they want to, you know, get going. I know in Europe it's a totally different feel where it's a whole experience. You go out for 3 hours, and it's pretty much the same here.
You sit down and have a leisurely meal, and it goes on and on and on.
It does, which is great, but not when you're running on a tight schedule.
Right. Now, what about some links to there? Do you have a webcam or something like that?
You know, I haven't done any of my research.
Okay.
Do my research after when I get home.
Well, first of all, you're in the middle of a carnival. And,
I am. It just ended last night.
Right. Tell us a little bit about carnival.
Wow. Well, there was 31 different floats. They prepare for 11 months. So it just ended last night, and they could take 1 month off, and then they start preparing for the following year. And they really get extravagant. What's great about it is they now allow tourists to get involved.
To join in the parade and the celebration and the floats and...
Yep. So for 700 guilders, because that's what the money they use here, which, by the way, they don't use in Holland anymore. Now they use the euro. But here they use the guilder. But it's about 40% off. So if it's $10, it's $6. If it's 10 guilders, it's $6. And for you to join the parade, I think... It's 750 guilders minimum.
Right.
And that includes your costume, which are very elaborate, and all food, transportation, and drinks. And they do a lot of drinking here.
is there a national drink?
Is there a national drink? Well, I've been drinking the stuff called Agua de la Monche, which is basically limeade.
Yeah, well, non-alcoholic.
A lot of people drink.
You're not a drinker.
No, I don't have alcohol in it, but a lot of people drink Amstel Bright, which I've never seen before. It's like light Amstel.
Right.
And actually, they do have a national drink. Their national drink is called Curacao.
Right.
Which you see in liquor stores. It's the colorful liquor.
And so you're going to be there another day.
Another 2 hours.
Another 2 hours. Hotels are looking good. Food is great.
They're not. What's great about this spot is that they're out of the hurricane belt. They haven't had a hurricane here for 230 years.
That certainly is good news.
Yeah.
Well, what would you say? I guess you would say that the highlight of the whole trip is Carnival.
It is, but yesterday I went ATVing, you know, four-wheel driving, and with this guy, Eric's Adventures.
Right.
He took it 35 miles around half the island, and I saw so much. It was pouring rain. It was a five-hour adventure. I got completely muddy. I felt like a kid again.
Right.
And that was definitely a highlight.
And
we got to interact with the locals. We ate at someone's house for lunch. That you would never find if you were not on this ATV.
Now, I assume that we're going to shortly see some great photos and maybe some video clips up on JohnnyJet.com.
For sure. I'm actually working on the video right now, and the story will come out in a couple weeks.
Which you're taking with your little still camera.
Correct, but it also shoots video.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I went out and bought one after looking at some of your stuff, and I've been experimenting with it. And the problem is, of course, when you post some of this stuff, if you post it on YouTube, it seems to lose quality. And sometimes people get it up there, and it doesn't lose quality. And I don't understand any of that. But
well, YouTube does cut the size down.
Yeah.
That's why I have two different video links on my website. One's for YouTube,
right?
It's much faster to load, and then also one from my website, which is slower to load, but it's much clearer and crisper.
Right, and I like the way you mix your stills and your video. Your that last 3-minute presentation, which you normally have at the end, is really terrific, Johnny. And the site is getting better and better all along. I just don't know how you manage to travel as much as you do. I find it incredible. But you're the man, and we thank you for taking the time to call us from Curacao, and we look forward to speaking with you in the not-too-distant future.
Thanks, Roy. I hope to see you soon.
I do, too. Give us a call when you get in Florida.
All right. Take care.
Okay, Johnny. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Johnny Jett, that man travels, and reports from all over the world, and you can follow his travelings by going to johnnyjett.com, which is a great site with lots of great information. You're listening to Talking Travel on the Travel Talk Radio Network, TTRN.com, and the World Travel and Dining Channel. My guest next week, actually, there won't be any guests next week because we're going to be on the road. We'll run some of our favorite pre-recorded segments for you to listen to. And until then, this is Roy Lowy saying bye for now and happy travels.
You've been listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Visit our website at ttrn.com for complete show archives and interviews with guests like Chris Elliott, Peter Greenberg, Bob Fisher, Johnny Jett, and many other great travel professionals. Don't forget to tune in live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern for more Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends.
This is the story of Mary and Larry. They had cabin fever so bad it was scary.
We need a vacation, a place warm and sunny, a place that's fun for not much money.
Let's escape the cold and the...